After being down by 15 at halftime to the OKC Thunder, the Detroit Pistons rallied back in the second half and pulled off a win tonight at LCA. We'll talk about what happened within this game and what really sparked the Pistons run in that second half in today's episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Per usual, I'm your host, Kuka Hill. You can find me over on Twitter at Kuka Hill. I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. And today's episode is brought to you by Sweatblock. If you or someone you love is experiencing embarrassing sweat or odor, try Sweatblock. Save 20% with promo code LOCKEDON at sweatblock.com, also available on Amazon. So the Pistons played their first game of their second 10-game stretch. We had just watched them go 2-8 through their first 10 games. This was the first game of their next 10-game stretch against the OKC Thunder. We talked about these next 10 games in the last podcast and how this was one of the games that the Pistons, I felt like, had a chance at winning in an otherwise tough next 10 games. And they were able to pull that off after a rough first half where it just looked really bad. No shots were going in. The team was struggling to get any kind of offense going. Bad turnovers by Ivy and Kate throughout the entire first half. They were able to turn it around and play really well in that second half. And we're going to talk about Sadiq Bey a little bit later. But first, I have to give credit to this right here. And if you guys go back to the Isaiah Stewart episode, that we recorded like 3 episodes ago, I believe. I talked about how rebounding discrepancy and the fact that the Pistons are giving up so many second chance points and not securing defensive rebounds and all that kind of stuff, I said was not only on Isaiah Stewart. He's not a fantastic rebounder, but he's not an awful one either. And what was happening up to that point, you could not pin all on him. He was getting switched out from the basket. His other teammates weren't really helping him on the glass. They weren't boxing out. And the lineup itself is small. Stu's only like 6'8". So expecting him to swallow up all the rebounds like he's Andre Drummond just isn't something that you can really expect to happen. So with a small lineup, you need everybody out there hustling, trying to get on the glass to help Isaiah Stewart out. And like I said, we're going to talk about Sadiq in a little bit. But I truly think that what really won the Pistons this game is the fact that Stu had 12 rebounds. Kay Cunningham had 11 rebounds. Jane Ivey had 11 rebounds. Sadiq Bey had 5 rebounds. Isaiah Livers had 5 rebounds. Hamidou Diallo had 8 rebounds. The Pistons out-rebounded the OKC Thunder 58-46. And it wasn't from Isaiah Stewart swallowing like 19, 20 rebounds. It wasn't that he just went out there and was just like a vacuum on the boards. No, the entire team participated. The entire team was active on the glass and was hustling to try to help their big guy out. And it's crazy is that it came from the guards mostly. Cade and Jaden Ivey, the two smallest guys on the court with the Pistons lineup, had 11 rebounds each. That's you give a lot of credit there. I thought Jaden Ivey, I should say, wasn't having a very good game. I thought he actually played his worst half of the season in the first half. But one area that he made sure to help in, and so did Cade, like we said, was rebounding. And that made the world of difference. The Pistons have been getting out-rebounded and out-hustled on the glass for the entirety of this season thus far. And it was a major, major issue. It was a big reason why the Pistons have the worst defensive rating in the entire NBA. It's a big reason why they were giving up so much. I believe they're the fifth most second chance points in the NBA. I believe we talked about that last podcast. They swallow the fifth least amount of defensive rebounds in the NBA. So all of that combined, the fact that they were able to kind of remedy that tonight by the help of their guards and some of that bench play from Isaiah Livers and Hamidou Diallo, who Diallo having 8 rebounds, that's big. So I think that right there is what really won the Detroit Pistons the game. There were some good performances from other players, but that effort that they had on the glass is what won them this game. And for them to really be competitive in any other game moving forward, for them to really think they have a chance at winning games moving forward, as long as they're starting Stu at the center spot, and I know Marvin Bagley may be coming back in a week or so, and whether they start him or not, who knows. But as long as they're starting Stu at center, you're going to need that kind of effort from everybody else. Because again, Stu's only 6'8". He's not like he's jumping out the building. He's not a fantastic rebounder either. So you need everybody hustling on the glass like they did tonight. And by far, that's the biggest reason why the Pistons won the game, I believe. 58 rebounds for the Pistons, 46 rebounds for the OKC Thunder. I think that was the story of the game right there. I don't want to get in Sadiq yet because I want to give Sadiq his own segment, which next segment will be. So to finish off this segment right here, I want to give a little bit of credit to Hamidou Diallo. Diallo, we described him all last season as a guy who was just an agent of chaos, a straight up just agent of chaos for the Pistons. He thrives where it's just like pickup basketball, where it's just crazy stuff happening all over the place. He can just fly around and score in just random ways. And in a game tonight against another rebuilding team, another, I guess you could say, quote, tanking team or bad team, whatever, in the OKC Thunder, that it's going to be a fast-paced game. Not a lot of defense, I think, is going to be played. It's the perfect environment for Diallo to really excel in, and he played tremendously well for the Pistons tonight in that role. There was multiple times when he all of a sudden had the ball in his hands where it looked like OKC was about to take it on a break. All of a sudden, he stole a ball, had a dunk. All of a sudden, he got defensive or offensive rebound, got another dunk. Like, he just scores in crazy ways. And for a team, when you're like the Pistons played in the first half, when you have a team that's struggling in the half court, struggling to see shots go down, struggling to get any kind of functional offense going, if you want that spark and you want that player who can kind of just cause havoc, Diallo is the answer. And Diallo did that for the Pistons tonight. So I want to give him a lot of credit. He only did that in 18 minutes, too. In that 18 minutes, he was flying around all over the place. So when you need a spark, when you need something like that, Diallo is your guy, and he did that for the Pistons tonight. He was a big reason why the Pistons won. And again, we already talked about the fact he had 8 rebounds tonight against the OKC Thunder. So when we come back, I want to talk about Sadiq Bey, what he did in this game and an evolution of his game, whether you want to call it good or bad. I'd like to hear from you guys. But we'll talk about that when we come back. But first, I got to tell you guys about one of our sponsors, a familiar sponsor from last year, Sweatblock. So listen, you guys all know about Sweatblock if you listened to the podcast last year, but I'll tell you guys a little bit about it right now. So last year, they gave me some Sweatblock. You take an antiperspirant wipe, and you basically, you know, it's simple as this. You take a shower, if you're clean or ever, you take the Sweatblock wipe, you wipe underneath your armpits, and then right there, that's all you have to do. And then you don't have to worry about sweating anymore. For a person like me, listen, I'll be straight up with y'all. For a person like me, I randomly just start sweating out of nowhere. I won't even be hot. I won't even be doing any exercise. All of a sudden, I'm sweating. I'm like, bro, I'm done messing up my t-shirt. Now I'm scared to go out in public. What does it look like? Like, bro, I hate dealing with it. But as soon as Sweatblock sent me their product last year to try it, I did not have any of those issues. I absolutely love this product. It's probably my favorite sponsor that we have on the Lockdown Pistons podcast. Sweatblock is amazing. The Sweatblock wipes are your little secret to confidence. The Sweatblock wipes work for up to 7 days per use. Apply them on a Sunday and you will stay dry all week. And I can tell you guys, I have used this and it is true. It worked for me last year. I advise all of you guys that have any kind of embarrassing sweat problem where you just randomly start sweating in public and you don't want people to see, you don't want to mess up your t-shirt or whatever you got playing on. You feel me? You don't want to have any of that messed up. I'm telling you, go check out Sweatblock. If you or someone you love is experiencing embarrassing sweat or odor, try Sweatblock. Save 20% with promo code LOCKEDON at sweatblock.com. It's also available at Amazon. Again, make sure you use promo code LOCKEDON to save 20% at sweatblock.com. So I want to thank you guys again for making Lockdown Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Lockdown Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. All right, so I want to talk about Sadiq Bey, who played a team-high 37 minutes tonight. That's a lot of minutes to be playing. Cade was right behind him with 36 minutes, though, so starters played a lot. But anyways, I want to talk about Sadiq Bey. And I'm going to start minor by just talking about this game, but I'm eventually going to work this to a macro kind of look at Sadiq Bey. So in the second half, the Detroit Pistons really came along and just went crazy. In the second half, they obviously outscored the OKC Thunder by, 24 points in the second half. And Sadiq was a big reason they were able to pull that off. He got to the free throw line 8 times. And in that fourth quarter, he really took over the game. They were playing him with a bench lineup, a lineup of Killian Hayes, Diallo, Sadiq Bey, Jalen Duren, and Isaiah Livers. That was the lineup out there. And Sadiq Bey was going to be the scorer and the guy who needed to provide some offense for them out there on the floor with those guys. And I think you can kind of look at that in that stretch, how well he played surrounded by those guys is why you're probably going to see him if they do decide to start two bigs. That's why he'll be the guy that come off the bench, in my opinion. That stretch right there shows you why I believe he'll be the guy. I don't think Bojan's great for that role, but I think Sadiq Bey, with how he's been playing, that's probably a good way to use him if you want to start two bigs. But anyways, nonetheless, he played fantastic in the fourth quarter, getting downhill, getting to the rim, drawing free throws. He was doing it at a better rate than I don't know if I've ever seen Sadiq outside of this year. I think this might have been the best I've seen him at getting to the rim, finishing around the rim with both hands, and consistently drawing fouls for that entire fourth quarter stretch. He was damn near perfect with it. But, and this is why I take this to the macro level, he was 1 of 7 from the three-point line. But I'm sitting here saying that he had a fantastic game. I'm sitting here talking about how he scored 25 points on just 17 shots. But he shot 1 of 7 from the three-point line. And this is where I'm taking it. Sadiq Bey, his rookie season, if you guys remember this, his rookie season, we had some people trying to say he was a better shooter than Chauncey Billups. I told you guys that was crazy. But his rookie season, he shot 38% from the three-point line. If anybody after his rookie season would have came up to you and told you, hey, Sadiq Bey is probably going to be a worse three-point shooter, but he's going to be better at getting to the rim and drawing fouls than he will be at shooting the basketball. If someone told you that, you'd probably be saying, well, something must have went terribly wrong and he must not be that good of a player. That must mean that his three-point shot just went down to earth. Or he became a superstar, and now he's shooting like 38% from the three-point line on high volume while also being excellent at doing the other things. It's kind of, I would say, it's not that the fact that he got worse, but it's kind of like he evolved as a player. And I don't think he's the knockdown shooter that people believed he was coming out of his rookie year. That's basically what I'm getting at. I don't think Sadiq Bey is this consistent knockdown shooter. I don't think he's a sniper. I don't think that's his role, and I don't think that's the best way to utilize him. I just don't think he can hit those outside shots as well as he did his rookie season. We now have two seasons now, or not, let me not say two seasons, we're 10 games into this, or 11 games into this year. But last year he shot 34% from three-point line. This year before this game, he shot 35% from the three. Did I say the free throw line before? I meant to say three-point line. You guys feel me. But so far this year, he's shooting 35% from deep. And then after this game, I'm shooting 1 of 7. I'm assuming it's going to go down to like 34%. But he's shooting 45% from the field still. He's having a career-high two-point percentage, 54.5% from twos. His efficiency field goal percentage, or effective field goal percentage, 55.1%. He's shooting 89% from the free throw line on a career-high 4.7 free throw attempts a game. So I think what people need to realize, or people need to adjust, is who is Sadiq Bey? What kind of player is Sadiq Bey? What kind of player is he going to be moving forward? What kind of role do you want Sadiq Bey in on this team for the Pistons moving forward? What's he going to be filling? And I no longer think, I know this has been 10 games, 11 games, but even going back to last year, you kind of started to see it happen. I'm seeing the same thing this year. I think people need to change what you think he's going to be. I don't think he's going to be the spacer in the starting lineup anymore. I don't think he's a good enough shooter for that. I don't think he's a consistent enough shooter to be the guy you're relying on providing spacing in your starting lineup to be the guy who is just a knockdown catch and shooter. I don't think he's that guy anymore. His rookie year, I think, was a little bit of an outlier. I don't think that's the player he is. However, what I do think the player he is, and again, we'll wait to see how the rest of this year plays out, but the way I'm seeing it, what I think is going to end up playing out, I think Sadiq Bey's probably going to end up being a six-man kind of player, a six-man scorer who comes in the game and immediately gets buckets, immediately can get to the rim and draw fouls, and is really crafty with how he draws fouls, and he knows. Something I've really grown to like about Sadiq is, and now you guys already know, I wish he made a little bit better decision-making, driving to the rim, and like when he gets to the rim, deciding to kick out every now and then. But something I'm really coming around to with Sadiq, something that I'm really liking seeing from him, is the fact that he knows that he can't jump super high. He's not a very good explosive. He's not like a big explosive athlete. He's not a great athlete. He's not very fluid. It's not like he has any, like, you know, wiggle to his game or anything. But he's incredibly strong. and he uses his physicality well, and he's crafty with how he draws fouls. He knows how to get his body into you and coerce you into trying to foul him, drawing or falling for his pump fakes as well. He knows how to do all that very, very well so far this year. And that's really creating why he's having such an efficient year, despite the fact that he's having a terrible year, or terrible year to his standards so far, or what people thought should be his standards, I should say. I don't think that will be his standards moving forward after this, but what people thought his standards were from beyond the arc. Despite that, he's having an incredibly efficient year. It's because I think the player that we thought he was going to be is not the player he actually is. I don't think he's going to be a spacer in a starting lineup. I think he's going to be a sixth man of the year kind of guy. I think eventually, when the Pistons are competing, Sadiq Bey will be coming off the bench. He will be the first guy off the bench, and he's going to be a guy that just comes in and gets buckets. You're not asking him to come in and play defense. You're not asking him to come in and make kickouts. You're not asking him to come in and play make, keep the ball moving. Like how I'd be wanting in the starting lineup, but someone who can keep the ball moving and space the floor and make the right passes while K dominates the ball. I don't think that's what Sadiq's role is. Sadiq's going to come off the bench when K comes out, or when he's playing with a bench lineup that maybe doesn't have as much scoring like they have right now, a guy who can come in and instantly get buckets, instantly get draw free throws, get to the line, shoot a high percentage, and play efficient basketball. And to be honest, I don't think that's a bad thing. I think actually, if that's the role he's able to carve out, I think the best thing, real quick, let me go on a little bit of a tangent. The best thing for I think a young guy to do is to carve himself his role. Find out what is your role in this league. What are you going to be in this league? What can you rely on to be in this league? And these 2020 draft class guys that Troy Weaver drafted, I don't think any of the other ones know exactly what they're going to be. Killian and Stu, they don't know if they're going to be good NBA players. They don't know what kind of NBA players they're going to be. They don't know what to hang their hat on. Like, I don't think they have that carved out. I think you're starting to see in real time what Sadiq Bey is realizing, what his role is going to be in this league. I think he's realizing, listen, I'm not that great of a passer. I'm not that great of a defender, but I like to score the basketball. I'm crafty with the ball, and I know how to draw fouls, and I'm going to do it in an efficient manner. And that's what I'm going to do. You're not putting me on the floor to pass the ball. You're not putting me on the floor because you think I'm a good passer, or I'm a good connector, or I'm a good, you know, drive and kick guy. No, you're putting me on the floor because I can score the basketball. So I'm going to be good at that. So, and I think another thing too, to give him even more credit, you guys remember last year, I said all the time that he needed to trim the fat off his game. No more of the long drawn out ISOs. No more of the long twos, the dribble pull-ups. Just be decisive of what you want to do. Are you going to catch and shoot? Are you going to catch drive? Are you going to catch jab step drive? Are you going to catch get to the rim, pump fake? Like, be decisive of what you want to do. And he's been incredibly decisive. When he wants to do something, he's going straight to it. There's no hesitation. There's no long twos. It's not a long drawn out ISO. If he gets an ISO, it's quick. I'm going straight to the rim. Either you're going to body me, I'm going to draw this foul, I'm going to beat you to the rim, I'm going to get a layup off, I'm going to go up at the rim and try to get a tough finish off, and you guys are probably going to foul me anyways. Like, he's been incredibly decisive with everything he's doing offensively. Again, there's some things I wish Sadiq did a little bit better. Those are kind of just, I've realized after watching more, I feel like that's more of aesthetic for me. I like watching, like, pure basketball, I guess. Like, guy who can make the extra pass, guy who moves the ball, guy who can make that driving kick. That's more of just aesthetic, I guess, just when it comes to me. But Sadiq Bey having a 61 true shooting percentage this year, that's amazing. That's crazy. I did not see that coming at all for Sadiq Bey this year. The average true shooting this year so far is 57%. Last year it was 56%. So basically, league average true shooting percentage, which is how you weigh efficiency, is hovering around 56%. He's way above league average efficiency. So right now he's scoring, 16, 17 points a game on way above league average efficiency while drawing free throws, getting to the line, hitting a high percentage of those, while possibly having his worst year from outside, from deep. That usually doesn't correlate. If you have you're having your worst year probably, I think after this game he'll be below what his last year was. But you're having your worst year from beyond the arc, but yet you're having your most efficient year still. That means you're a completely different player than you were before. You're evolving. I think you're seeing that with Sadiq. I think you're seeing Sadiq carve out his role. I think that's going to be six man, play 30, 35 minutes, somewhere between there, off the bench, But your role is just simply, hey, we want you coming in. We want you to come get buckets. That's what we need you to do. We need you to come in here and draw fouls, get to the free throw line and play your game. Don't worry about doing that other stuff. We'll get other guys that can carve out the roles to do other things. But your role will be to score the basketball. I think that's what you're going to see Sadiq Bey become either this year, next year, 2 years from now. I think that's eventually what his role is going to be for the Pistons when they start winning. Let me know what you guys think about that, though, in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at Kuka Hill. When we come back, Kay Cunningham, 21, 11, 7. Jane Ivey, 15, 11, 6. We had a few guys flirting with triple-doubles tonight. I want to talk about their games and how Kay Cunningham could look at the guy across the court from him in today's game in SGA on figuring how to take that next step in the NBA. We'll talk about that when we come back. But first, I got to tell you guys about one of our sponsors, BetOnline.net. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there. From football, to basketball, to soccer, and esports, we've got it all at BetOnline.net. And if you love sports podcasts, you can find those over at BetOnline.net as well. We're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fix. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about their trends and action today. And if you head over to BetOnline.net right now, you will see, if you click on the basketball tab, you can see MVP front runners. You can see championship front runners, sixth man of the year front runners, rookie of the year front runners. I think it's clear Paolo Banchero is going to be the leader there. That dude is crazy. You guys remember in the offseason, I said I had him my number one on the board. I'm looking pretty smart right there. But yeah, rookie of the year odds. You can go over there and look at coach of the year odds, all that kind of stuff. If you click the basketball tab over at BetOnline.net, head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about their trends and action today. BetOnline, where the game starts. So I want to thank you guys again for making Lockdown Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Lockdown Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. So the Detroit Pistons backcourt had a terrible first half. Terrible. They were awful in the first half. But in the second half, Kate Cunningham and Jane Ivey came along a little bit, and they were both flirting with triple-doubles. I believe SGA also was flirting with triple-double for OKC. Yeah, he had 33-7-5. That dude's legit. But either way, Cade and Jane Ivey came on a little bit stronger in the second half. So I'm going to start off with Jane Ivey here. There should not be a game. And I almost want to say I'm exaggerating a little bit, but then I'm not really exaggerating. There should not be a game when Jane Ivey takes 7 threes. Like, that shouldn't be the case. He shouldn't be taking 7 threes in any game he plays in. He's not that type of shooter. He had 5 threes taken in this game at the 6-minute mark in the second quarter. No, that should never, ever happen. He was settling way, way too much. He was relying on that shot way, way too much. I don't know if it was because he's trying to prove that he's a better shooter than people are acting like, defenses are acting like towards him. But no, don't his game needs to be getting to the rim over, over and over again, finishing at the rim or kicking out. And that's what he did more in the second half. Now, he did hit 2 threes in the second half, but those were the only 2 threes he took. Both of them were catch and shoot. So it wasn't like he was taking his little dribble, pull-up, step-back kind of a tough contested three. No, he was catching, shooting threes in the second half. He only took 2 of them. And that's what he should be doing. That's when he can shoot the threes. The other ones, those are just bad shots. And he was 0-5 in the first half from three. So that shouldn't happen again. The second half, you saw him getting to the rim consistently. He got a few dunks. He got a few layups. He made a few kickouts. And a few nice ones to Kate Cunningham. A few nice ones to Hamidou Diallo, who eventually took it to the basket. Sadiq Bey. Isaiah Livers, like, he played much better in the second half because he started getting to the rim. And I hope we don't have to go through the same thing we went with Cade last year, where at the beginning of the year, Cade was relying on that outside shot too, and eventually it took the whole year for him to eventually work his way closer and closer and closer to the basket until he realized, okay, that's my game, getting to the basket and then hitting the three, not relying so much on the jumper. That shouldn't be something that Jane Ivey struggles with. I think it's pretty clear that getting to the basket is what his game is. So I hope we don't see another night where he has 5 threes taken at the 6-minute mark in the second quarter. That's crazy. He was on pace to take what? He was on pace to take what, 14 threes then? Could you assume he'd take two on that pace? He'd take 2 more before the end of the second quarter. He'd be at 7. So 7 at halftime, he's taken 14 threes. that he should never be on pace for that many threes. So that's the only thing I'd say about Jaden Ivey's game. Also, I thought outside coming on a little stronger offensively in the second half, I thought this was the worst defensive game he played for the Pistons, and he was a little sloppy with the basketball. So they're going to clean that kind of stuff up in practice, and it's just one of those lows that he's going to have to work through as a rookie, obviously. But I just want to point those things out. And I like the fact that in the second half he stopped settling for threes. So I want to give him credit for that. Cade Cunningham came on in the second half. Not a great efficient night for Cade. He had 21 points on 21 shots. That's not too efficient. But either way, he came on stronger in the second half, played a lot more aggressive in the second half, was active on the board, started finding open teammates. Teammates started hitting more shots in the second half, so his assist numbers looked a little bit better. I think if they made more of their shots in the first half, he might have had a triple-double this game, but, you know, that didn't happen. But, yeah, I thought Cade played a sloppy game in the first half. I believe he had 4 turnovers in the first half. That can't happen. He was really sloppy in the first half. But in the second half, he cleaned that up a lot and was really playing a lot more aggressive in the second half. So he definitely, especially that third quarter too. That third quarter, the entire starting lineup played really well, led by Cade Cunningham, and they just played a lot cleaner of a game. Again, like I said, led by Cade Cunningham. But I want to go over to the other side and SGA, and I hope Cade watches SGA, and that's where Cade should be trying to get to next. Now, I'm not saying SGA is where he should be aiming for in his career. Obviously, he should be aiming for MVP kind of career heights. And heck, maybe SGA ends up getting there. SGA is really damn good, dude. But he needs to watch SGA for where he needs to get to next, because SGA kind of plays the same game as K. He plays at his own speed. He's not super fast. It's not like he's out there just blowing by people. He knows how to utilize his change of speeds. He utilizes pump fakes. He knows how to utilize his length around the rim. I think he's a little bit more shiftier than Cade is. He's a little bit more twitchier, not in the explosive sense, but just a little bit more wiry, if you get what I mean. Has a little bit more wiggle to his game, I'd say, than Cade, but Cade's a little bit stronger too. So either way, SGA knows how to chain speeds tremendously. Like, if you watched him this past game against the Pistons, that's the first thing I think jumps out to you. Is that he knows how to go from 0 to 100, then 100 to 70, 60, 60, 90. And like he that's knowing how to accelerate and then decelerate is one of the best skills to learn. I remember in high school, one of my varsity coach who played high level college basketball, he used to tell us, and I had a guy on my team who was a really damn good player. And one of the things he spent like our entire season trying to teach him was knowing how to accelerate and decelerate at the right times and knowing when to go full speed, half speed, slow speed. Like, that is one of the biggest skills you need in the NBA, playing basketball anywhere. And SGA, I think, does it to an absolute T. Like, he knows how to do it amazingly. So, and Cade actually is pretty good at it too. Cade knows how to play at his own pace, but he can get better at it. And if he can get to where SGA is with it, he'd be borderline unstoppable, dude. So I hope he's watching film of SGA. SGA knows how to use those pump fakes too. And they're both really long athletes. Like, I just think that SGA should be where Cade's aiming for. I think that's like a good comp for Cade right now. Now, SGA obviously is further along in his career. It makes sense that he's better than Cade right now. But eventually, I think that's what Cade should be aiming for right there. I want to give credit to SGA because I had to talk about him, because that dude is a baller, dude. I know this is a Pistons podcast. I know we're all Pistons fans, but you can't tell me you didn't watch this game and think, my God, that dude over there can play. That man, SGA, can play for real. Because I know I was. He was out there putting on an absolute show. I think that's the kind of show that Cade can put on eventually too. So that's all I've got for you guys though today on today's episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Thank you guys for making us your first listen of every single day. We're free and available on all your podcast platforms. YouTube channel, hit that subscribe button, Locked On Pistons. Or leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you're listening to this on. Till next time, I hope you guys enjoyed the game. I'll see you guys in the next podcast. Go Pistons. Stay safe, everybody, and peace out.